This is the second week in a study on Psalm 23. It's a very famous psalm. How many here know about Psalm 23? Maybe some of you out there have it memorized today, okay? And I want you to think for the next few minutes about a human shepherd and his sheep. A human shepherd and his sheep. Been studying this a little bit over the last couple of days. What are the responsibilities of a human shepherd with his sheep?
Protection,
that's good, okay. Sheep are not the smartest of animals sometimes. They're innocent, and sometimes they wander away from the flock. So what the shepherd does is he brings them back into the flock, so he provides guidance. Like this brother said, he protects the sheep. He actually, a good shepherd, a loving shepherd, one who really cares for his sheep, will lay his life down for the sheep. He will risk his very life for the sheep he loves. He will protect the sheep from predators, from wolves. So he provides protection. He provides them with pastures so that they can feed, right? And receive physical nourishment. He provides them with water so that they can drink and be refreshed in the heat of the day. And in Psalm 23, the psalmist David compares God to a shepherd. And he compares us, the sheep, us, the followers of God, to sheep. You know, God is not just some common shepherd, ordinary shepherd out there. Let me say it again. God is not just some common shepherd. God is the loving and good shepherd. Let me say it again. God is the loving and good shepherd. And in Psalm 23 verse 1, the psalmist doesn't write the Lord is his shepherd or the Lord is her shepherd or the Lord is that person's shepherd, or that the Lord is the shepherd of that person in that other church on the other side of the city. What does he write? He makes it personal. In Psalm 23:1, the psalmist writes, the Lord is my shepherd. Right? The Lord is, let's say it, my. Say it with me. He is my shepherd. Let me ask you this today. How does God become your shepherd? How does God become your shepherd? That's good. That's good. God becomes personally your shepherd, my shepherd, when we willingly become one of his sheep. So how do you become willingly one of God's sheep? By surrendering your all to God, by submitting the entirety of your existence and your being to His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus wants to be more than just Savior in your life. Jesus wants to be Savior and Lord. Lord means ruler, the one in charge of every part of your life. You know, some people have this idea in their minds that, you know, God, this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it, God. God, I want to be behind the steering wheel of my life. I want to be in the driver's seat of my life. God, this is my life. Let me do with it what I want to do. And friends, that's living in rebellion towards God. That's kind of, in a sense, rejecting God. And if that's your attitude, then God is not your shepherd. Some of you may not be with your mouth saying that you reject or rebel against God, but deep down in your heart, God knows the thoughts that you think. You know, He knows whether you're pushing Him out of certain areas of your life. You might be like, God, you can have control over this relationship. But God, I don't want you having control over this addiction. I kind of want to hold on to this addiction in my life. God, you can have control over this diet of mine. But I don't want you having control over my job situation. No, God wants all of you. He wants you to surrender the entirety of your being to Him. Jesus Christ wants to be ruler, the one in charge, king over every part of your life. As I said it before, I'll say it again. God is not required to bless anyone who is living in rebellion to Him. God is not required to fulfill the needs of anyone who is saying, God, I don't want you in my life. But if you say, God, I humble myself before you. I lay my life down before you. Jesus, be my Lord. That kind of attitude is the attitude that God, the great and loving shepherd, will bless. That's the attitude that God wants to fulfill every need of. Is that making sense today? You know, if you start in taking the small step of surrendering your life to God, He is going to take the big step and bless you where you need it. He will start fulfilling your needs in the area you need those needs fulfilled in. Is that making sense? So how does God become your shepherd? How does He become my shepherd, your shepherd personally? By surrendering it all to Him. And if you surrender it all to Him, He will meet all of your needs. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. In other words, the Lord is my shepherd, He will provide for my every need. But He wants to be your shepherd first before He provides for your every need. Is that making sense today? All right, today we're going to concentrate on verse 2 of Psalm 23, the first half. And this is what it says. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Okay, for these little animals called sheep, what do the green pastures provide? They provide diet and physical nourishment for sheep, but it also provides something else. Okay, he says warmth, somebody else? Rest and peace for the sheep. I was studying shepherds and sheep just over the last couple of days, and I came across an article by Mary Adams called Lying Down in Green Pastures. And she talks about a man named Philip Keller who writes a book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He makes a very interesting point about sheep lying down in green pastures. And this is what he says. Keller wrote that sheep refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. Sheep refuse to lie down unless they are free from all fear. It is fear that keeps sheep from lying down. There is a lot of tension in the flock, friction amongst themselves, rivalry and competition, fear of the unknown, just as in the world around us. So these sheep will not lie down in green pastures unless they are liberated from all fear. And we are the sheep of whose pasture? We are the sheep of God's pasture, and He wants us to lie down in green pastures. Now this word, lie down, from the original Hebrew means this. It can also mean this. It means that He wants us to rest in His green pastures. God is wanting you and me to rest in His green pastures. As believers in Jesus Christ in this new covenant, what is the green pasture that you and I can rest in? As believers of Jesus Christ in this new covenant, what is the green pasture that you and I can rest in? What is it? Presence. Anybody else? That's a good one. The green pasture that you and I can rest in is the green pasture of His written word, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the green pasture today for us as believers in the new covenant. Friend, I don't know what's causing you fear and worry today, but you can rest in the green pasture of God's word and promises. You know, for His written word to give you rest and peace, you've got to have the written word where? For you to be able to rest in the green pastures of God's written word, where does His written word have to be? It's got to be in your heart. Does that make sense? So in order for the word of God to be in your heart, what do you have to do on a consistent basis? Not just once a month, not just once every 2 months, not just every so often. What do you have to do with this green pasture called the word of God? You've got to be feeding on it on a consistent basis like a sheep. What does a sheep do in green pastures? He feeds on the green pastures on a consistent basis. It gives him nourishment. Let's turn to Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This is what it says. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do not let this word today, the Bible, depart from your mouth, but meditate upon it day and night. How do you meditate upon the Word of God? How do you chew upon the Word of God? You first got to do what? You first have got to start feeding on it, feeding on this green pasture called the Word of God. So that when the need arises in your life, when the storm hits your life, the Word of God that is stored deep down on the inside that you've been feeding off of will come up out of the inside of you and speak to the situation you might be facing in your life. Does that make sense? That making sense today? Just a little example from my own life. Back in August of 2008, I was facing a need in my life. It was a small need. I was in the process of doing some remodeling at my home. And I started painting my little home. And I started with a second bedroom, which I turned into my office. And guys, let me tell you, it was a lot of work. It took me like a day and a half or two to paint this one little room. So I was facing a need. I was like, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need some type of help. Here's my need. I've got a need. But I knew that God was true to His Word. I was able to rest in the green pasture of His Word. And I said, God, I know You're going to provide somebody to help me paint the rest of my home. And so I happened to be at one of the shelters here in downtown Tulsa on a Friday night and ran across the week before a painter who was living there. And so I asked him if he wanted to help me out. And he said, sure, I'll help you out. The next morning he was at my house. He bid the job. And the next week he helped me paint the entire home in about 2.5 to 3 days. It was just awesome. I needed the help. I was a little anxious on the inside. I was like, I want to put this project behind me. It was delayed for a couple of weeks. And God provided help in my time of need. What does the Word of God say? What does this green pasture say in Philippians 4, verse 19? But my God will supply all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So that was my need at that time. Friend, I don't know what your need is today. What need are you facing today? You can lie down, you can rest and be at peace in the green pastures of God's Word. But to be at rest, to lie down in the green pastures of God's Word, remember, you've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis, on a daily basis, not just once in a blue moon, but every single day you need to be getting into the Word of God and feeding off of it. Is that making sense today? A lot of people have good intentions when they begin. You know, I read a chapter out of the Bible today in Psalms. You know, and I read a chapter on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, and then on Friday, and then 2 weeks go by. And they forget to read the Word of God. They're not feeding off the green pasture called the Word. Well, if you're not feeding off the green pasture called the Word of God, it's not going to be there for you when you need it in your time of need. Makes sense, right? So what is the need you're facing today, friend? What is that need? Are you facing fear and anxiety? Maybe it's an unexpected report. Maybe it's an unexpected loss. And maybe you're fearful and your mind is thinking over and over and over and over about this bad report that you have received. Try resting in the green pasture of 2 Timothy 1:7. What does it say? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. You know, when a need arises causing you to worry, rest in the green pasture of Philippians 4:19. But my God will what? Supply all of my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Maybe your need is for physical healing and you're getting anxious today. Maybe you've received a bad report from the doctor. You're ill, you're sick, you've got a disease. Rest in the green pasture of Isaiah 53:6. What does Isaiah 53:6 say? It says, by His wounds we are healed. It doesn't matter what the doctor says. The Word of God, this green pasture, can trump the word of the human doctor. It is so much greater than that. Maybe your need is for comfort in the midst of grief. in sorrow. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost a loved one. Rest in the green pasture of 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, which tells us that the God we serve is the God of all comfort, and He comforts us in our troubles, in our griefs. Friends, you can lie down in green pastures, the green pastures of the B-I-B-L-E. You can rest assured in the Word of God that what He has promised you in His Word will happen in your life. It will happen in your life, hands down, no doubt about it. How many here believe in God's Word? Is God's Word your standard for everyday living? Rest assured in it. You know, maybe your need is for the strength to forgive an offender. Maybe somebody has deeply offended you, has deeply insulted you. You know, forgiveness is a tough thing to do sometimes. And you might be thinking to yourself, man, this person has offended me so deeply. God, I and myself cannot forgive the person who has insulted me. God, I need your divine empowerment to do it. Well, friend, you can rest in the green pasture of 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says that God's power is made perfect in weakness. In other words, when you're weak, God's power is made evident. When you get weak, God will give you His divine empowerment to forgive the offender. You see, God's Word speaks to every need we face in life. Do you agree? You know, if a storm hits your life, some unexpected storm, and your boat is being rocked, your boat being your life, you can rest in the green pasture of the book of Job. How many here remember Job in the Old Testament? Job in the Old Testament. He was a God-fearing man. He loved God so very much. And Satan, the devil, made a wager with God that if God took everything away from Job, that Job would turn his back on him. And God said, do it, Satan. And so everything was taken from Job, his children, his wealth, his possessions, and he was stripped of everything. He was hit with a major storm in his life. His boat was really being rocked. But no, the overarching theme of the book of Job is this. It's God's sovereignty, that ultimately God is in control. God was in control of the entire situation in Job's life, and Job never turned his back on God through the thick and the thin. Never turned his back on God. And we read at the very end of Job that God did what? He gave Job back double everything that he lost at the beginning. I'm telling you, Job's life was really being rocked. Would you agree? He lost it all. Sores on his body. Just completely lost it all. His boat was being rocked. And friends, maybe today your boat, your life is being rocked by some type of storm. I don't know what that is. But you can rest in the green pasture of this, knowing that God is sovereign and God is in complete control of every single area of your life. If your life is being rocked, remember this. It's being rocked in the palm of God's hands. He's not going to let your boat tip. He is not going to let you drown in Jesus' name. Do you agree with that today? Rest in the green pastures of God's Word. And just remember this to close it off today. Isaiah 55, verse 11. It's a good word. Concerning the Word of God, the green pastures of God's Word. This is what he writes. Let's back up to verse 10. Isaiah 55, verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word will perform the purpose for which it was sent. You can stand strong on the Word of God, but friends, like a sheep feeds off a green pasture, on a consistent basis, you have got to feed off the Word of God. It's got to be stored up deep down on the inside, so that when the storm hits you, when the need hits you, the Word that's stored up deep down on the inside will spring forth out of your mouth, out of your spirit, and you'll speak to that situation. In the natural it says this, but God's word says this concerning my situation. In the natural it seems impossible for me to overcome this addiction. But the word of God says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's resting, lying down in the green pastures of God's word. Now Abraham, how many remember Abraham in the Old Testament? How old was Abraham when God gave him the word, gave him the promise? He said, Abraham, I am going to make you a great nation. This is Genesis chapter 12. He was how old? He was 75. How old was Abraham when he received the promised son through whom the great nation would come? Remember, he was 75 when God promised to make him into a great nation. How old was Abraham when the promised son was born? Say what? How old was he? He was 100 years old. What's 100 minus 75? It's 25 years. How many years did Abraham stand fast on God's word? 25 long years. What was he doing in those 25 long years of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for the promised son? What was he doing? He was lying down. He was resting. He was at peace in the green pastures of the word that God had given him, that I will make you into a great nation, Genesis chapter 12. He was able to rest in that word. And he rested and he rested and he rested for a long time, 25 years. If Abraham could do it, he was a man just like us. Guess what? You and I can do it. Does that make sense? I encourage you guys this week to lie down, to rest in the green pastures of God's Word. How many here own a Bible? How many here own a Bible? How many here read your Bible consistently every day? Not every one of us, guys. We have to make that one of the goals for 2010. To be in the Word of God, to be feeding off the Word of God on a consistent basis. You can rest upon God's Word. Amen? Okay. Kevin Conwell has got a little testimony for us of how he was able to lie down and rest in God's Word.
Okay. Hello, man. You know, Matthew 11, 28, it says this. Can you hear me? Matthew 11, 28. Come and tell me. Come to me, all you heavy laden. And I will give you heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, sometimes we don't understand that, how that process works. As Brother Jonathan's trying to explain to us how to rest. There was a process I went through when I was pastoring in Alabama, how to rest. And it seems like at one point in my ministry that we were going to lose our building and not have any place to have our church anymore. And what happened was, after nights of worry and stress and just working a full-time job, I was at the end of my rope. And the Lord spoke to me. He spoke these words to me in Matthew 28. Come to me, and all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He told me, you need to rest in me. And that week I decided to rest. I decided to just rest on the fact that His word was true. And within that week, a gentleman walked into my church, or our storefront church, and offered his church to us. Just because I made the decision to follow the word that was written and to rest in it. Amen?
That's good. I don't know what situation you're facing in life like he was. It may be causing you fear, but what's the opposite of fear? Faith. And what does the word of God say about faith in Romans? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you want your faith in God and in His promises to be built up, what do you have to do? You got to be hearing the Word of God over and over and over and over again on a consistent basis. How do you hear the Word of God? You can hear it from a preacher, but you can also hear it from your own mouth. You can read the Word of God to yourself. It'll build up your faith so that when fear tries to hit you, faith will overcome your fear, worry, and anxiety in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.